Good afternoon, everybody. You're in the huddle. 101.3 The Game. Guys, right out to the TikTok Jewelers guest line. Joining us now, he's our ESPN NFL insider. It's Field Yates. Field, it's unfair. I mean, you saw what Brady did to the Chargers. Couldn't they at least Chargers lose by a field goal? They got to get blown out like that, 35-7 at halftime? My goodness.
Yeah, it certainly was a clinical performance from the Patriots this past Sunday. And you know, I think it's a reminder, guys, of a few things, is that the setup of the NFL playoffs is so different than anything else, and so different than baseball, obviously, and basketball, and hockey, and, you know, the best team often prevails. And I'm not trying to suggest that the Patriots are not the better team than the Chargers, but regardless of how close or how far apart two rosters are, it's clear that if you don't bring your best in a given day in the NFL, it's going to be over before the game has even begun. And the Patriots were at their best. Conversely, the Chargers were not prepared on Sunday.
Phil, what was the biggest key to that win? I mean, you can look at the stats and run down all kinds of different ideas, but what do you think it was?
I tell you what, I wonder if the most important thing the Patriots did on Sunday was humbled the Chargers early. Yeah. Bill Belichick took the football, and obviously they went down and scored in the opening drive. And, you know, it's hard to quantify just how much the fatigue of going back and forth on a jet can impact a team three straight weekends. But I think the Patriots felt as though they had a chance to pounce early. And I think that game was almost won in the first quarter. They score in their first four drives, meticulous offensive production in each one of those. And it just, whatever emotional energy the Chargers still had, the Patriots erased it all. They got rid of it. And they made sure that the Chargers felt as though they had no chance.
Field, I was thinking the same thing earlier. I don't know if you saw the viral clip going around. It was Joey Bosa mic'd up where he's talking with his teammate on the sideline and he says how impressive Tom Brady is and how quick he gets rid of the ball. I'm thinking to myself, if I'm a Chargers fan, Bosa sounds pretty defeated talking to his teammate there. Like, I don't know if that was taken at 0-0 or if that was taken at 38-7, but it feels like the Chargers were beaten before it even started.
Yeah, I'd say this. You're right, Brady. And I thought that the clip from Joey Bosa was neat. And it's really the first time that Joey Bosa has played against Tom Brady at full capacity. But I think it's just an appreciation, right? And you know, I don't know why. Why do you know why? I mean, let's just be honest, guys. Tom Brady is probably as oft discussed amongst NFL players as any, specifically whether he's done or not. And I think that maybe we should take it from the players that actually see him on Sundays. Like, say what you want about Tom Brady, but it's really just a matter of, like the guy's still as good as there is. He is as much of a challenge as there is for anybody in the NFL on Sundays. And you know, or maybe right behind the guys that they'll play on Sunday themselves, the Patriots, and Patrick Mahomes.
Field, I think I know what you're going to say because I think we know you well, and I think you're going to tell me that both teams have pressure this week because there's a trip to the Super Bowl on the line. But I look at this game, and I can't figure out which team has more pressure on them. The Patriots feel like they're playing with house money. I don't think they have pressure. And the Chiefs feel like they'll be here for a long time, so I don't think they have pressure. Do you think either one of them has more than the other?
Yeah, it's a good question, Brady. I was expecting to get a lot of questions along the line this week about, like, who would a win mean the most for amongst Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs, or Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid, you know, the Saints and Sean Payton or Drew Brees, maybe Jared Goff and Sean McVay, and then Bill Belichick and Tom Brady. Even though it's a franchise win, it often focuses in, legacies are often discussed through individuals. And I couldn't come up with a great answer for the simple reason why, and you sort of laid them out. And on Sunday, like, I don't know that anybody expects this to be the last time we hear from Patrick Mahomes on the biggest stage. I think, really, that we expect him to be around for a long time. So in terms of pressure and legacy, like, I guess I'm going to call it a draw, not to be a fence sitter. I just sort of think that, like, this is one of those games that, you know, pressure is going to be there, but in terms of measuring it, one side versus the other, that's basically it.
All right, Phil, then what about the weather then? I've heard people argue both sides on this. You know, first of all, can you stop New England because of the weather? Because you're not afraid of them throwing deep, so you're going to play up a little bit closer. You're going to take away the little dink and the dunk to the running back. Or does it neutralizes Tyreek Hill's speed and the offense of Kansas City? So who benefits the weather?
I don't know that anybody benefits or detracts from it, guys, to be honest. I think that the reality is that, it's everybody's got to deal with it, and it sort of feels like the weather is trending in, I don't want to say the right direction, but it's getting a little bit warmer on Sunday. I think that where it impacts, and this could be an impact for either side, guys, is I do think that you have to keep an eye on whether players drop more passes just because of the lack of feeling that you'll have from the cold. And then also, ball security in general, right? I mean, how much do you take away, with less feeling? You might just be slightly less aware when they have a linebacker chasing you down, right? It's just the small things that I don't think necessarily tilt one way or the other. I think maybe the focus for me will be, ball carriers specifically.
Yep.
And, guys that I don't know that, you get any more experience from playing in the cold in the past, but just, guys that have had any level of trouble with ball security, I'll be keeping an eye on.
Phil, when Kareem Hunt was gone, you're thinking, well, that's going to hurt. But are you surprised at how much Kansas City's been able to run the ball so effectively still?
Yeah, they've been awesome, guys. And Damian Williams has just been great. He has been a revelation, good enough to earn a contract extension on the second to last day of the regular season. And, I think there's, it's pretty obvious that Kareem Hunt is a superior overall player to Damian Williams. But for those that thought that the offense might lose the balance, might lose the ability to keep defenses honest to the running game, that has not been the case, as Damian Williams has been a very viable fill-in.
Field Yates, ESPN NFL Insider, joins us every Wednesday through the season at this time, thanks to the AutoMax Group. Field, we're going to talk about this tomorrow, but I kind of want your gut reaction to it. Is Julian Edelman a Hall of Famer in your mind?
That's a good question right there. I think that one thing we talk about with players and their legacy is clutch production, right? And I think that ultimately players that do their best work on the grandest stage are going to be viewed a certain way. And as of right now, the list of players that have more playoff catches than Julian Edelman ever is one person. It's Jerry Rice, and that's probably the biggest reason why he enters into this conversation. I would think my gut, my current reaction is probably not in terms of Edelman as a Hall of Famer at the moment. But I got to tell you guys, there's at least something to be said for what he does when the moments matter most. And he looks like a guy that, I don't know about better with age. It's hard to say these guys are getting, every single one of them is getting better with age. But the father time has not yet met Edelman in this capacity.
Field, we found out before the game on Sunday that Tom Brady played probably a good portion of the middle to later part of the season with a sprained MCL. So do you attribute, how much do we attribute his drop-off in performance this year to the knee injury? And can we just say next year, he's going to be healthy, so he's going to be fine? Or is it he's getting older, he's going to get hurt more often, and this should be worrisome?
Yeah, and why was he on the injury report, Field? I never saw that, huh?
Yeah, well, in terms of the injury report, guys, obviously it comes down to whether you're at all limited in practice. So that's a non-story. I mean, if he's taking every single rep,
right,
which he was, then it's not a story. You're not on the injury report. In the same way that players have been banged up and not at all been limited and not been on the injury report as a result. I don't know that it sort of portends anything as it pertains to Tom Brady's longevity. I really just think that, guys can get banged up. And I think, if anything, he's shown consistent ability to not, to play through injuries one way or the other, play through pain. And they always say, you hear any player talking about it right now, no one's 100% at this time of the year, which is true. It's true. They it's just the reality. Everybody is sort of grinding it out, but the Patriots in relative terms are in pretty good health going to championship weekend.
Field, Antonio Brown, where's this guy going to end up? Is he giving it to Pittsburgh again, saying, for my new team, I'm going to try harder than anybody else? What's going on with this guy?
Yeah, well, I don't know where he's going to end up. If I did, I would have reported it a long time ago. That being said, I think that let's just use a little bit of logic here, right? I mean, they're not going to trade him to an AFC rival, right? I mean, just can't. Why would they trade him to the Patriots or the Ravens or the Chiefs or anybody that's any good in the AFC? So we can put that idea to rest. But what I would say is that You have to look out to the West now, or the NFC. I was going to say the West, like it's the East in the U.S. in the NBA. But I think you look at the NFC and you start to go through the suitors there. We can probably safely cross the Tampa Bay Buccaneers off the list after Bruce Arians' comments. But you know something, guys, I think for the most part we've seen that NFL teams, when they make trades, as much as they can, they'd like to kind of control where the player ends up. Now, that isn't to say that interdivision trades can't happen or interconference trades can't happen, but I would say for the most part it makes sense to think that if the Steelers are going to make a deal, it would be towards an NFC team. And not that this stuff matters quite as much, but the Steelers just played the AFC South this past year. So, you know, if you can get them into a division that you might not see for three more seasons, might not be the worst thing.
The only thing I'm thinking about, Field, is the only reason I would want to maybe trade him to the Patriots is I want a bunch of draft picks so I could trade up in either the following draft or the draft after that, because I want Tua or I want Lawrence, the quarterback out of Clemson. And, boy, would that be a good fit for Pittsburgh, having a replacement for Ben Roethlisberger, you know?
Yeah, well, I tell you what, that that ain't happening. So make it simple. Not happening.
Field, over to the NFC. I mean, Saints-Rams, it's got, you know, 54-50 written all over it, but the trend seems to be going in the other direction. How do you see this game?
I don't think it's going to be quite as high scoring as you might think. You know, because the Saints have been so good defensively of late. Obviously, the strength of these two teams and for much of the season was the offense, and 45-35 was the last result that we saw. But I think it could be a little bit of a tighter-knit defensive effort. And, you know, I don't know that there is a – I don't think either championship matchup screams blowout to me. I would just say that, for the most part, these are two teams that have enough pieces on both sides of the ball that can make critical plays, that if it's a close game on Sunday that comes down to a kick, like, no one should be surprised if that's the case in either game. So I think we're really in a good spot here. There's no such thing as a meritocracy in the NFL in the playoffs, but I do believe that the four most complete teams are playing this Sunday afternoon.
Field, how much of a difference does Aqib Talib make in this matchup for the Rams secondary? He didn't play the first time these two teams met.
Sure, yeah, it definitely matters. And what we saw this past week with the Philadelphia Eagles is they just got caught up, right? I mean, their secondary depth got so thin, the next thing you know, Michael Thomas is getting whatever he wants willingly on fourth and third down in the fourth quarter. So, you know, I would just say that having Aqib Talib back is always a good thing for the Rams. He does a lot for their defense. And when you have all the weapons that the Saints do, and, you know, really specifically, it's the two running backs and Mike Thomas in the passing game. Like, it's always great to have your heavy artillery in the defensive backfield. So I'm not saying it guarantees they slow them down, but as we saw the last time, they had no answer from Mike Thomas. And as much as Marcus Peters might want it, I don't believe that he's going to be the one tasked with shadowing Mike Thomas all game. I feel like the Rams might go in there with a little bit of a different mentality this go-around.
Field, let's get to rapid fire. Look, what do you think about the Jets' new coaching staff? I actually like the Adam Gase hire. A lot of people wanted Mike McCarthy, but you get Greg Williams on defense. I don't know that they're ready to take the division over from the Patriots, but I like them a lot more this year coming into 2019 than I did to 2018.
Yeah, I mean, I certainly like the direction of the Jets overall. I think a lot of it comes down to the harmony. With him and Sam Darnold, and I think that really is what it comes down to, is probably how much progress Sam Darnold makes is probably the biggest factor in how we view this coaching staff. But I think Greg Williams won some support this past year and really made some fans in the second half of the season, filling in as the Jets defensive coordinator. But for the most part, guys, I'd say that these coaching hires are usually best judged after a couple of seasons. So I think that's probably where not to dodge a question, but I think I'm encouraged by the overall direction, but it's sort of wait and see mode.
Team that you're most looking forward to watching and seeing what they're going to do in the offseason?
Ooh, man. The Steelers, because of Antonio Brown, would be right up there near the top of the list. I think that will be the answer for me. It's just because there's so many moving parts involved with Antonio Brown. That's one, and then you know, you look at a team like the Colts, who has a lot of the pieces in place and a lot of money to spend this offseason. Do they go big in free agency, or do they maybe take a more patient approach? But, I don't know that I've fully shifted into offseason mode yet, guys, because I'm so excited for Sunday.
Now, Brady went Taco Bell. I went Whopper with cheese. The biggest question, the last one, what fast food would you want if you went to the White House?
Man, That's a good question. I'm not really a fast food guy myself. I would think Chick-fil-A, though, could be in my wheelhouse. Yeah,
that was our easy answer.
Good. Yep.
All right, Field, always a blast. You're the best. Enjoy the games this weekend, buddy, and we'll speak to you next week.